holding on Gefala Chamer Aleph for the beginning of the Gemara. We're on Gefala Chamer Aleph by the beginning of the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah that there are a bunch of chumrus, we said, as far as Kodesh, as far as Kalim and whatnot that are used for Kodshim, as compared to Truma. The first one of them was, we said, that when it comes to Truma, you can tovel one Kali inside another, and when it comes to Kodesh, you can't. The question is, by Kodesh, my time alone, why not? Why by Kodesh can you not tovel one Kali inside another? Amar Rav Ila, Mipnesh Kvedish or Kli Chotzit, because the weight of the inside Kali is going to be a Chatzitza. You have the one Kali inside the other. The one Kali may be heavy enough that it rests solidly on the bottom of the other one, and then it'll make a chavitza. Which is why we're not worried about that as far as Truma, we'll get to later. But first, the Gemara asks, well, how many to say from Mishum Chatzitza, Reisha La Mishum Chatzitza? Why, in the later part of the Mishnah, we have one of the, among these 11 things that it mentioned in the Mishnah, there was another one that had to do with Chatzitza. Then that implies Reisha La Mishum Chatzitza. That implies that this one is not a matter of Chatzitza, it must be a different issue. The one that we had, where by Kodesh, if you have a knot in the thing, you have to untie it and dry it, and so forth, because the Chatzitza rests. Dikatani Sefer, we learn later in the Mishnah, V'loika Midas HaKodesh Midas HaTzeruma. We said that the rules for Kodesh are unlike the rules for Tzeruma. Shabba Kodesh Matir Uman Giv Umat Bil. When it comes to Kodesh, you have to untie it and dry it, and only then can you tovel it. V'achachach Kosher, and then you can retie it if you want to. Or V'Tzeruma Kosher V'achachach Matbil. And by Tzeruma, you can tie it, and then you can tovel it. Aside from all the explanations that I mentioned yesterday, by the way, about these various possibilities, what kind of knot are we talking about over here? I forgot to mention that Rambam has a shita that we're talking about a keli which is made out of wooden boards that are tied together with ropes. So therefore, there's the idea that you have to untie the ropes and carefully clean the area where the ropes are, because otherwise you may have dirt stuck under there and you have a chatzitza. So therefore, you already have another mila that has to do with chatzitza. What's the point of mentioning two of them? B'chlal, I mean, the Gemara could have asked not only the fact that you have two of them, but why are they mentioned so far apart? You have the Makbilim Kalim, that says Kalim is the first one, and this Matu and Menagah's business is the fifth, third is the fifth one. I mean, different Mepharshim give different possibilities why the Mishnah might have mentioned them out of order like that. The Puri Evan talks about the idea that maybe the ones earlier in the Mishnah you might have thought not to be Gozer by Kodesh at all, whereas the later ones, it's more logical that there should be some kind of zera. It's just a kula that we don't apply it to Truma, or the Nitziv in Meroy Mitzadeh says that it's just the Mishnah may be listing them in the order in which the Tan learned them from his teacher, and the order in which the zeras were made, whatever. So that's not that big a deal. But the real question is, according to the Ila, why would you have two zeras that cover essentially the same thing? And the answer is Reisha B'Sefer, Mishum Chatzitza. Indeed, both the first part of the Mishnah and the later part are both because of a matter of Chatzitza, according to Rabbi Ila. But nevertheless, it's Tzricha. But nevertheless, we need both of them. The Iyashmein and Reisha, because if we were only told the first case about totaling one Kali inside another, Havamina, then we would have thought, Hainu time of the Lakodesh Loi, you know why you're not allowed to for Kodesh, Mishum Kvedesh Kali, Deika. Because then, again, you have this problem where the inner keli is going to weigh down and press against the outer one, and then there's going to be a chatzitza.
If you had one in the reisha?
If you only had the reisha. I will sefer, the lek of kvedish or keli, but in the sefer, in the case over there with having to untie and clean it and retie, there's no issue of kovid, there's no issue of weight. Emel kodesh namila, have a chatzitza. You would think, maybe as far as kodesh also, it shouldn't be considered a chatzitza. Again, whether we're talking about, according to Rashi, we're talking about, let's say, the beged for whatever reason has a knot in it, which fine, but it's not a tight knot, it's not necessarily a chatzitza. Or according to the Rambam, you're talking about that the pieces of wood, okay, but they're tied together. It's normally meant to be used that way, so maybe it's not that big a deal if the rope is a little bit of a chatzitza. I mean, maybe the rope is not really considered a chatzitza on the wood because it's the normal way of using it. And again, according to the various other possibilities, according to Ture Eben, that we're talking about, that the knot becomes tighter when it's wet, still, but maybe it's not so tight that it would be an issue, or whatever, all the different possibilities, not necessarily. What do you think? It's a chatzitza when it comes to Kurdish.
What's just everything in the ratio of the chatzitza? What do we have to make separation between
them? That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying before. That before Shem talk about why the Gemara is not discussing the idea of why we have them so widely separated in the Mishnah. That's the Gemara is not addressing. And so either the answer is because these zetas were made, either these zetas were made at different times and the Mishnah is listing them in the order in which they were made, or that there's reason to say with the earlier ones that maybe there's more of a chiddush that you would think they might not be an issue at all, and therefore it has to mention them, whereas the later ones are less of a chiddush. But whatever it is, that we're not so bothered about. The real question is why we need two different zetas that seem to cover essentially the same thing about chafitza. So we said, that's what we're saying, because the one about Kalim, the Sech Kalim, you might think, when it comes to Kodesh, that's a real issue. There might really be a chatitza over there, because you're going to have one of them is weighing down the other and then blocking the water from getting to all parts of the Kalim. Incidentally, whether we're talking about that the outer Kalim is Tomei or only the inner Kalim, that we're going to discuss in a little bit on Chafetz and Medalas. But for our purposes, it doesn't really matter. Either way, both Kalim have to be completely exposed to the water. So if we only had that one of the 11 things, then we would say, okay, I can understand why that applies to Kodesh. The one about the knot in the beged, or the knot in the knotted pieces together of the keli or whatever it is, you might have thought that it's not such a big deal. You shouldn't really consider that a chafitza. There's no reason to be going to that even for Kodesh. The Yeshmein and Sefer, and conversely, if the Mishnah had only told us the second case about having to untie the beged, or whatever it is, have I'm in a higher time of the Kodesh Loi, you would have thought, on the contrary, you know why in that case for Kodesh it's a problem and you need to untie it first. Bishum de Kisra, b'maya aduki, ahud aduki miyajak, because that knot becomes tighter in the water. Again, according to the various explanations, what we're talking about over here, according to the Tura Evans explanation in particular, even a knot which is relatively loose when the beged is dry becomes much tighter when it absorbs the water and swells up. So you would think that in that case, you would have reason to make that zera in that case. But on the contrary, in the Resha, you might think, if you take one keli and put it inside another one and toivel it, what's going to happen? The water is going to make the inner keli float. On the contrary, unless it's a really heavy keli, it's not going to sink to the bottom, it'll float in the water. So you would think in that case, maybe it's not a chatitza. And that's indeed why we need both of those cases, because each one of them has a certain feature that the other one doesn't have. Incidentally, the poskim do talk about this that we're saying that when it comes to kodesh, you can't tovel one keli inside another. But when it comes to truma and how much more so for chulin, it's not an issue. That really depends. We're going to have something about it soon about the size of the outer keli. That's a different matter. But there's also, if the inner keli indeed is a very heavy one, then which the water is not going to make it float, then indeed, yes, you can't do that even for chulin, or even, for example, when you're toveling dishes you buy from a goy or whatever. If you have, if you have, like, for example, a heavy metal pot, or even just not even heavy, you have, for example, if you take a bunch of, if you have a bunch of bowls, let's say, a bunch of ceramic bowls, a bunch of china bowls, let's say, that you buy, you can't put them all one in, so you can't stack them one on top of the other and toivel them, because inevitably the water is not going to get between them. But there is still that factor, so. But what we're saying over here is even where it might be less of a factor, you might think the water makes it float. Nevertheless, you're saying for Kodesh, we're being machmer. Lingmar points out, Rabbi Ila is going according to his own reasoning. When he says that this issue about not toveling one keli inside another is a matter of chatzitza, he goes according to his own shita, the Amr of Ila, Amr of Chanin, Papa, Eser Milas Shonukhan. He says that there are only 10 Milas mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, if we count the things in the Mishnah, we have, that Kodesh has over Truma. Which, by the way, the next Mishnah is going to mention there's certain things that Truma has over Kodesh. We'll get to that. But if we look at the list in the Mishnah, we have on the face of it, we have 11 things. Kalim says Kalim, number one, that the Kali has different parts, there's Acharayim, Vatoch, etc., that the inside and outside of the Kali count separate, that's two. That you're allowed to carry Midras and Truma together, that's three. That the clothes of Oichli Truma are Midras for Kodesh, for Oichli Kodesh, that's four. The business about tying and untie, about having to untie before you tovel and then only retie it afterwards, it's five. The thing about where keli, even after it's finished being manufactured, batara, you still have to tovel it for kodesh, that's six. Hakli mitzaref mashav asoicho, that we said that everything that's in one keli all counts as one block of food, that's seven. Ravi in kodesh, shlishi versus truma, that's eight. One hand being tomei is okay with truma, but not with kodesh, is nine. That you can eat food that was never gotten wet with unclean hands, without washed hands, by Terumah but not by Kodesh, is 10. And number 11 is that an Oilin and Mechutzah Kippurim have to still Tovel before they eat Kodesh. So there are 11 sins. So why is he saying 10? Because he holds that two of them are the same thing. He holds that the first one and the fifth one are essentially the same thing. It's two ways of expressing the problem of Chatissa. And he continues, Chomish Rishonis Ben Lekodesh Ben Lechul and Chanasu Al Paras HaKodesh. The first five in the Mishnah apply both to actual Kodesh and to Chulin, which were prepared according to the standards of Kodesh that we talked about in the previous Perek. Yeah. Achronus Lekodesh Avalo Lechul and Chanasu Al Paras HaKodesh. The last five in the Mishnah apply only to actual Kodesh. They do not apply to Chulin Chanasu Al Paras HaKodesh. That would be the ones from Horaviva Kodesh, Vashlishi Betruma, and onward.
That doesn't apply?
Right. So, which, now, when we said the other day, the Gemara had concluded that Chol and Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh do have the same status as Kodesh.
That's what we said.
But actually, and we had a whole discussion about it. Nevertheless, the Rambam does not paskin like that. The Rambam paskins that nevertheless, Chol and Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh don't go beyond Shani. The Ravid disagrees with him on the basis of the previous Gemara and all. The Rambam explains that what we meant before is the various, many of the various chumras that apply to Kodesh also apply to Chul and Chanasu al Taras HaKodesh. But the actual degrees of Tumah that can go as far as Ravi does not. Partly based on our Gemara, partly based on other Gemaras.
With the Rambam or with the...
Depends which Mefarshim. On top of that, there's also, I mentioned yesterday, there's a Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, whether Ravi Bakodesh Bechlal is something Daraita or not. Whether it's Ravi, Tosfos holds it is, Rashi holds it's not. Rashi holds the whole, and I believe that Imam also holds that the whole concept of Ravi Bakodesh is only the Rabbanah.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, we mentioned it among the Milas and the Mishnah, which sounds like it's the Rabbanah. Right. So my time, what's the reason? The reason is like this. Chomish Kamaisa, the first five Gzeiras in the Mishnah, the Is Drora the Tumah Mederaisa, there is all in them a Drora the Tumah of Deraisa. What is Drora the Tumah? Rashi says it means that with each one of them, there is a possibility of there being an involvement of Tumah Deraisa. Namely, let's go through them. The first one about Kalim Besach Kalim again.
You could say that it's Deraita.
Not you could say it's Deraita. It's clear that all them are Derabanan. But there is a possibility that if you don't follow that Zera, that you might have a case with Tomim Deraita.
Yeah.
Namely, when it comes to Kalim Besach Kalim, indeed, if the inside Kali weighs down and presses down on the inside of the outer Kali, then yes, you're going to have Chatzitza and Deraita. The Tevila is no good. The second case about the inside and the outside and the handle and whatever of a keli. The whole reason why the Chachamim made a gzera that in some cases the outside of a keli can become tame, but not the inside, is because if it were to touch the mashka, we said yesterday, mashka zov, the saliva of a zov or a nidor or what have you, then it would actually be tamei midaraita. So therefore, midrabanan, we said that any kind of mashka tamei makes a keli tamei. So again, there you have a drora of the tumah deraita. It is related to something to a tumah deraita. There is a case where such a thing could make a keli tamei deraita. And therefore, we would say that zera by kodesh. That if the tumah touches any part of it, even the outside, then even the inside is tamei, etc. The next one we said about carrying midras and carrying truma together. Again, we'll learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, or the next day, that there was an actual case once where somebody was doing that with kodesh, and the kodesh became tamei. So there is a real possibility of it becoming tamei deraita. The next one about the clothes of Oichli Truma are Midras for Kodesh is again, what's the whole reason why we say that one person's clothes are Midras for somebody else is because his wife might have sat on them while she's a Nidda. That's a possibility of a Truma Daraisa. And the case about the Kalim, even though they were finished being manufactured, the Truma was still acceptable them. The reason is because as they were being finished manufactured, saliva of an Amaretz might have fallen on them. And we said the saliva of an Amaretz is like the saliva of a Zav. And again, the Amaretz's saliva itself is only also Dirabanan. But if he was a real Zav, it really would be Tomei Deraisa. Yeah. So that's why we say that all those five things apply not only to Kodesh, but also to Chul and Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. as opposed to Basraisa, the Letzel who drew the Truma, the rest of the things mentioned in the Mishnah, the thing about the, about Revi versus Shlishi, about one hand versus two, about the food,
the
about food,
one,
yeah, food that was dry, the Oinin, the Mechusa Kippurim, etc. There's no possibility of Truma Deraisa.
Drora
de Truma Rashi says means a concern of Truma.
Deraisa.
There's a concern that there might be a case, there might be a very related case where it would actually be also where it would actually be Tuma Deraisa. The last five cases, there's no possibility. Now, according to Rashi, that works out very well because Revi Bakodesh is not even Deraisa. So therefore, yeah, there's no possibility. Minat Torah, Kodesh only goes as far as Shlishi, just like Truma. So how would Tosfos explain it? So therefore, Tosfos explains that, right, but nevertheless, since our Gemara is saying over here, and again, this is how the Rambam passes the halacha, that Chulin Shanasu Al Paras HaKodesh can't go as far as Revi. So Kodesh itself can, but Chulin Shanasu Al Paras HaKodesh can't, and therefore there's no reason to extend this Gzeira to that. There's another girsa, I mean, Hananel takes out the word deraisa, so it's not a question of dro, it's dro to the tumor, whether there's a possibility of tumor versus whether there's no real possibility of tumor, and the Chachamim just made humorous. So, of course, there's various explanations exactly what the word drora means. According to Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation, drora to the tumor means ikir tumor. That there was a case of tumor over here. You're trying to tovel the thing. This is how Rabbeinu Hananel explains it. There was tumor over here. You're trying to remove the tumor by toveling it. Therefore, we want to be machmer even by holding shanasu al taras hakodesh. In the last cases, there's no actual tumor over here. So therefore, there's lots of a reason to be machmer. By kodesh, you're machmer. By holding shanasu al taras hakodesh, you're not going to be machmer. So the last five, Basraisa, the last five, Drota, the Truma, Deraisa, the last five where there's no possibility of Truma, Deraisa, Gozrubo Rabbanon LaKodesh, so the Rabbanon still made the Xeris for Kodesh, but L'Chulam Shanasu, Altaris HaKodesh, like Gozrubo Rabbanon, but they didn't make the Xeris for Chulam Shanasu, Altaris HaKodesh.
And why did he do it for Kodesh?
Because for Kodesh, you want to be on a higher level, you want to be on a higher standard. Each of them will go through in the next few days, in the Gemara, we'll see a reason for the Xeris by each one of them. Well, we'll see. There was a reason Chachamim wanted to make an extra high standard by an extra high sekiya. But there's no real possibility of Tuma Deraisa in any of these cases. Or according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it wasn't Tomei in the first place.
So it's another reason why they really did.
Yeah. Anyway, so the point is, we're saying Rabbi Ila holds that even though the Mishnah lists 11 things, it's really only 10 because he combined two of them into one. Rava Amar. Now, Rava says differently. Be safe having Mishum Chatzitza. No, given that the second part of the Mishnah, the fifth thing in the Mishnah, is because of Chatzitza, the issue about untying and retying, Reish Alav Mishum Chatzitza, then indeed, the first part of the Mishnah, when it talks about Tovel and Kalim inside other Kalim, is not a matter of Chatzitza. Not like Rabbi Ila says, Rabbi Ila doesn't seem to have a problem with there being two of the same thing in the Mishnah, and he gave the Tzrichas before why we would think each one of them you would think is different than the other.
According to Rava,
you're not going to say that. The Chachamim were going to make one Gzeira having to do with Chatzitza. They wouldn't have had to make two separate Gzeiras.
So then,
so Reisha Hainu Taima. So what is the reason in the Reisha? Why can you not tow over one Kaili inside
of that? The case they're not exclusive to each other. You could apply it to what we said about the Reisha and the Sefer, that everything could be in the Reisha.
According to Rabbi Ila or according to Rava?
Okay.
Oh, according to Rava. Same thing. You could say same thing. You could give the same answer as according to Rava, that either it's listed in the order in which the Gzeiros were made or the order in which the Tana learned them, or you would say the original, the ones in the first part of the Mishnah, there's more of a Chiddush, and the ones in the last part of the Mishnah, there's less of a Chiddush. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. V'reisha hainu taima. So what is the reason why in the Reisha what is the reason for this Gzeira about not toveling Kalim inside other Kalim for Kodesh? The reason is Gzeira Shalayakal Mahtan Vitsinoris Biklish and Piv Kishreferas Anoid. Gzeira is you don't want the person to make a mistake and total small kalim like needles or spinning forks inside a keli whose opening is narrower than Shreferas Anoid. Shreferas Anoid means a little tube that they would put in those days. A noid is a skin bag. They would take the skin of an animal or whatever and make it into a bag for water or wine or what have you. What they would do sometimes is they would make it in such a way they'd attach a little piece of they'd attach a little pipe sort of like a straw to the opening of it. So that's to make it easier to put to make it easier to pour in and out of it. Depending on the size of the bag, the straw would be different, but there was a certain maximum size. Yes, there's a certain maximum size of pipe that they used for this purpose, and that's the standard. That's the standard Kidatanan, as we learn Kidatanya, really, as we learn in a Mishnah. Or Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Mikvois. Eruv Mikvois, Kshaferes Hanoid, where if you want to combine together two Mikvois, so if you have, for example, you have, let's say, Rashi says, you have a 40-saw mikveh, and next to it you have a mikveh with less than 40-saw. So obviously you can tovel in the big one. What happens if you want to be able to tovel in the smaller one, or maybe not tovel yourself because you won't fit, but you want to tovel a keli in there or something? What you need to do in order to combine them, you need a sheferes hanoid. You need a hole the size of the sheferes hanoid, which we'll define in a second what that is.
At least that size,
yeah. It can be larger, sure. Ka'ovya v'kachalala, it has to be the width of that of this pipe and the thickness of it. Meaning, in other words, you need the if this is the pipe, Lamarcia, you need not just the hole has to not just be this wide; it has to be this wide. It has to include the walls of the pipe as well. Has to be the actual size of the hole. And how big is that? It has to be big enough that you can fit two fingers in them and turn them every which way and have room, which means obviously it has to be a little bit bigger than two etzvos, because if it's exactly two etzvos, then you know you're not going to fit. And then the hole can go from so one second. No, so what? There's two different ways nowadays that people don't tovel in the actual oitzer of rainwater. That they make mikvahs of drawn water and connect them to the mikvah of rainwater. There's technically three major ways in halacha that you could do this. You have one is called zriya, where basically you fill up the rainwater mikvah until it overflows into the next one, and then you can then you can fill it up with mayim shorim. The second one is called Hashem. Nowadays, I don't think anybody uses Zriya as a practical matter because there are different issues in halacha with it. The second one is Hashaka, which, yeah, that's when you do exactly like what we're describing over here. You have the two mikvahs side by side. You have a hole between them. You open up the hole and let the two oitzeris of water touch. The third one, which is what we use in Lubavitch based on the Rebbe Rashab, is Bor Agabi Bor, where the rainwater is on bottom and above you have the heated mikveh water. There's a hole in the floor between them. If you ever look when you go to the mikveh, you'll notice there's a hole in the floor. Usually they put it underneath the stairs or something so people don't fall in. But that hole connects them. And the Alfred Eber mentions, not the Alfred Eber, the Rebbe Rashab explains there's various advantages in it, la halacha, because if you have the two mikvahs side by side, eventually the water may filter from one into the other until you get to a point where there isn't 40 sa of rainwater in the original bar because the water is going back and forth, whereas when one is above the other, the water is not going to sink, especially when it's warmer, because warm water rises. On the other hand, other poets can argue with it. They argue, we mentioned the other day about katafras, that if you have water connected on a slope, that's no good. And they argue that having one bird on top of the other is a case of katafras. So they hold that it's no good. So actually, in many mikvahs nowadays, in many mikvahs around the world nowadays, what they do is they do to satisfy both shittas. They have three birds. They have one rainwater on the bottom to satisfy the Rebbe Rashab's opinion, one on the side to satisfy the other opinion, and then there's the mikveh that people tovel in, which is connected. So you have not zriya. You have a shaka to the one on the side, and you have a shaka to the one on the side, and you have a different kind of a shaka to the one on the bottom, essentially. Yeah. Anyway. So returning to our Gemara over here, if you take a keli and you put inside it other kelim, the tovel. The problem is, if this opening over here is less than Sheferes Hanoid, then the water that's inside this keli when you're tovelling it is not considered attached to the mikveh. That too. The minimum is 2 etzvos, so only if that wide are you going to be able to tovel other kelim inside it. When it comes to Kodesh, then Rava is saying, that's why we're saying you're not allowed to do that, because we're afraid you may not realize that, why you would realize it with Truma and not with Kodesh, we'll talk about later. And therefore, it will come out that the inner kelim were not properly tovelled in a mikveh.
Let me ask you a question. Being a keli, for instance, that's less than 2 etzvos, if you put another hole that's also less than 2 etzvos, are you going to add them up somewhat?
So there is a machloek at the poskim. We'll get to it soon when we talk about baskets. Whether if you have a bunch of small holes, whether it adds up to Sheferes Hanoid.
Right.
The Chacham Tzvi, for example, has a tshuva about it. I believe he says that not. But let's get to it soon when we talk about turtling things inside a basket. Anyway, so that's what Rava says. That's the reason why you can't turtle one keli inside another. And the Gemara points out, so Rava, who holds that this kelim besides kelim has nothing to do with chatzitza, and it just has to do with this matter of iru mikvos, he holds like what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Bavor. He says Yud Aleph Milus Shanu Kan. There are in fact 11 Milus in the Mishnah, not like Rav Ila said there were only 10 because he counted two of them as one, but rather he counts 11. Sheish Rishon is Bein LaKodesh Bein LaCholim. The first six apply Bein LaCholim Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. The first six apply both to Kodesh and to Cholim Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. Achronus, the remaining five beginning from Revi Bakodesh Shlishi to Truma apply LaKodesh Avalei LaCholim Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. They don't apply, as we said before, they don't apply to Cholim Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, and that's in fact how the Rambam paskins that with Cholim Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, Cholim that are even though they're prepared to the same standard as Kodesh, nevertheless they don't go beyond Sheni LaTruma. As opposed to what we said in the previous parak, where we wanted to say that they're exactly like Kodesh, right? The Rambam holds the halacha is not like that, so give it rather like this one.
What's
the reason
you say it doesn't hold exactly like Kodesh?
It's partly based on our Gemara over here, that we're clearly saying over here that the last five, beginning from Revi, doesn't apply to Cholim Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. How the Ravid would explain it is another matter, but it's a machlokes, that's all. Anyway, the point is that Rav Ila is saying that there are 10 things in the Mishnah, because he counts two of them as being both a matter of Chatzitza, the first and the fifth one. And Rava is saying that there are actually 11 because he counts them as distinct. The one about Kalim is Kalim is because of the Shreperis Anoid business, and the one about untying and retying and drying it off in between is because of Chatzitza. You might ask, My Ika ben de Rava le de Rabila. What is the nafkamina between Rava's and Rabila's reasons? Either way, you can't tovel Kalim besach Kalim for Kodesh. So what's the practical difference? Now Tosfos says you could say a very simple difference. Suppose that you do tova one keli inside another, and the outer keli is also tamei. According to Rava's reason, there's no problem. The outer keli is definitely tahor because either way the water has gotten into it. You don't need a bottle. You can tova a bottle that doesn't have an opening of Shreferis Hanoid, and it's still a valid tefillah for the bottle itself. The problem is only with what's inside the bottle. Whereas the coins of Ilo would be no good because it may have sank down to the bottom and made a chatzitza for the outer one also. Okay, so Tosfos says, yeah, the Gemara could have said that, but then instead the Gemara finds a different nafkamina. What is it? Salva gargusni shemulam kelim bihvilam. Suppose you take a basket, a sal is a basket, or gargusni means a very large basket. Rashi says specifically a gargusni they would use when they're pressing grapes. They would use this basket, they'd put it where as the grape juice is pouring down from the press into the vat over there where it's going to ferment and turn into wine. You put this large gargusni over there and you use it sort of as a strainer to strain the wine as it's going through. So suppose you take one of those, shemulam kalim beit bilon, you fill them up with kalim and you tovel them. If it's a matter of chatzitza, Rav Ila's thing, you still have that issue. If the kalim are heavy enough to sit solidly on the bottom of the basket, you still have a matter of chatzitza. The bottom of the keli won't have touched the water. Where according to Rava, the whole problem is that the keli might not be wide enough, the opening might be wide enough. There's no such thing as a basket or a gargusni that has such a narrow opening. They're not made that way. So therefore, there's no reason to be gozer. Now, this is where there comes in the discussion, what you were asking a minute ago, about the matter of a bunch of small holes. One way of looking at it, that some of Foreshim explain, the vote is, physically, a salo gargusni is always made with a wide mouth. Some of them, in fact, make a point of saying that with these kinds of kalim, the bottom and the top are all, it's always made with straight sides, the bottom and the top are always the same width, and therefore, there's no reason to be gozer. Some say not. Some say, okay, because you're going to start making distinctions like that, so then you're going to start saying, what if it is a little bit tilted? No, the reason why a sal and gargusni are not a problem is because you do have enough small holes that you have. It adds up to the cross-section of a Shreferis Anoid, even if you did happen to have a basket that had less than Shreferis Anoid, the holes in the sides would be good enough. depends who you ask. The Chacham Tzvi in particular doesn't hold of this business of hold. He holds you actually have to have for Hashaka, you have to have a hold the proper size, and that's what they do in Mikvaris nowadays. Having said that, sometimes we do. For example, in Hilchos Mikvaris in Yerodea, I think that Amar talks about the idea you have, let's say, you can go next to a river or next to a lake or something and dig a hole where then the water kind of filters in through the ground, which we'll talk about in a minute, and then fills up the hole. And that's fine. It's still considered a kosher mikveh because it's still effectively connected to the river over there or to the lake.
No, that's fine.
That's what we're saying, because you have a bunch of little holes in the ground, and altogether, you have the fact that it's filling up with water means that there's enough.
But this day it wouldn't count.
But yeah. V'az the Rava l'taymei, so Rava goes according to his own svara, the Omar Rava, Sava gargusni shemilam kelim, nidbilam tahorin. In fact, Rava says that yes, if you take a basket or a gargusni and you fill them up with kelim and tovel them, they will be tahor. Because that's exactly what he's saying. That's what our Mishnah is saying.
That's what we do in the mikveh here.
They have these baskets. Plastic. Right, that's true.
Well,
that's what we were mentioning before about kvedish or keli. If it's a really heavy keli, you're going to have to make sure that the basket has mikveh water in it before you put the keli down.
But according to this it says it's not.
No, there's no question. For example, if you have even those baskets,
it's an open basket.
I understand, but nevertheless, we're talking about the bottom of the keli. If the plastic of the basket is tightly pressed against the bottom of the keli, you know, you're toveling a really heavy dish or something, a really heavy pot or something. Yeah, you might still have a problem with chatzitza. You would have to pick it up a little bit. Yeah. Technically, you only need to tovel it once. In practice, people have the minute to tovel it three times. But
what are you using it without toveling at all for the first time? Can you do that?
No. The only way you can do that actually is to give it as a gift to a guy and then reborrow it. You can use a keli one time without toveling it. If it's a keli that's made to be used only one time, the poskim achronim talk about, for example, things like soda cans or other, you know, bottles that you buy pre-filled or whatever, you know, I mean, that's different. They're meant to be thrown away afterwards.
I heard people do. Let's buy a new keli, and for the first time they do it without.
You're really not supposed to. The only proper way to do it would be to give it to a guy and then reborrow it from him.
It belongs to him.
Yeah, that's what he needs to be like.
Use a key that belongs to a goy.
You could. That's no. You borrow it. He hasn't used it for tarifa. He hasn't used it for treifas.
But that's the whole purpose of doing.
No, the whole purpose of tevilas kelim is that it left the property of a goy and is now the property of a Jew, and therefore it needs a higher level of kedusha. Therefore, you need to tevil it. But fine, here it hasn't left the property of a goy. It belongs to a goy.
You can still use it.
I don't think you can do that indefinitely, but
no.
Yeah.
When you take the basket and you move inside the keli once it's in the mix, then you
that can help, I guess. That decreases the possibility. Yeah, I guess.
If it's a very heavy commercial pile, it won't move.
No.
But like things here, like
if it's a very heavy pot, you're probably not going to be toveling in one of those baskets anyway. Though you're probably just to be toveling it freehand. But yeah, incidentally, you know, speaking of chatzitza, there is also an issue when you're holding the keli itself. You have to make sure your hands themselves are wet with mikveh water, whether you have a problem with a chatzitza where you grasp on the keli if you grasp the keli.
So what I do is I take it with one hand and remove one hand and put the other one.
We'll yet have time to talk about this Bezos Hashem at the very end of Masechta Avodah Zarah, the last blot or two of it, to talk about all the dinim of Tevilas Kelim. So Rava holds that our Mishnah is allowing you to tovel in a salo gagusni, and indeed he holds that that's allowed. However, he continues, a mikveh shecholka b'salva gagusni, if you take a mikveh and divide it in half, so you have a 40-saw mikveh, and then you go and put in the middle of the mikveh, you put a basket or a gagusni to divide the mikveh in two.
A tovel of the mikveh?
Yeah, well, you put it in such a way that it blocks the mikveh, it divides it into two parts. So he says, atovel shom, like also like tevila. If a person were to tovel in this mikveh, it wouldn't count. The tevila wouldn't count. Even though the basket or the gargusni have holes in them, and so you would think the water can still penetrate and go back and forth through the holes, right? Sort of like a shaka. The thing is, he says no. Because we see, look at the ground itself is full of tiny little holes. When you have, for example, suppose you have, let's say, a spring. Now we know that besides toveling in a mikveh, you can also tovel in a spring, like the Arizal's mikveh. Rashi holds that even with a spring, you still need 40 saw, which, by the way, not all Rishonim agree to. There are other Rishonim who argue that with a Mayan you don't need 40 saw necessarily, you just need enough to cover yourself with a keli. If you happen to be a physically small person, you could get away with less than 40 saw. Be that as it may, Rashi.
But one drop is good for in a Mayan.
According to the other Rishonim, not according to Rashi. According to Rashi, you still need 40 saw no matter what, even with a Mayan. So what happens when you have a Mayan? Suppose you have less than 40 saw there. Now, I mean, the ground is full of holes. Where is this water coming from? It's coming from the water table below the surface. Ultimately, it's connected to the all the aquifers and all the underground water all over the world.
It's a hole. There's one hole. It doesn't come through.
Just for the hole.
Fine, but there's a basin carved out over there that the water goes into. You tovel in the basin.
Tovel in the basin, but there's one hole that comes from the rock. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, I've been there, but yeah.
The water coming to the force, you feel?
Oh, yeah, it's very
rushing
out.
But that's not the point. If there wasn't that hollow in the rock there, if there was just the water coming out, we're saying you don't have 40 saw in one place now, but if you were to follow that vein of water down, you would have. You know, there's an underground aquifer over there that has much more than 40 saw of water. And yet, and yet we're saying you need 40 saw in one place. So you see from that, just because water can filter through tiny holes is not good enough. By the same logic, even though the water can filter through the holes in the sal or the gargusni from one side of the mikveh to the other, that's no good. Because it divides into two, and you don't have 40 saw in one place. Now, if you have 40 saw in one place, then it's fine. The last Mishnah in Yesh Malamus HaMikveh, and then in Perek HaMikvahs that Havelim learned, mentions over there, if you have a mikveh which is very shallow, so the water is not deep enough to tovel in, what you can do, the Mishnah says over there, you can pile up afilu chavila esim, afilu chavila kanim, you can pile up bundles of straw or of wood over there in order to narrow the area available for the water, and gradually the water moves to one side and you make it deep enough to tovel. That's fine, because there at least you have 40 saw in one place. So yes, then even the little bits of water in between the pieces of water, whatever, can count toward the 40 saw. But here we're talking about you don't have 40 saw in one place. It's 20 here and 20 here, or 30 here and 10 here, or whatever. So therefore, it's no good.
Last paragraph, there's one man down the hole, the one on top is not good. You say good achis, but not good achis. So according to that, there's one down there who says they all agree that the bottom two, middle one and the bottom one are good.
This has nothing to do with here. We're talking side by side. Here we're talking side by side. That one has nothing to do with the other. Yeah, either you have the actual Shefaros HaNoda. No, what we're saying over here, you don't have Shefaros HaNoda. You have this basket that's placed over there blocking the middle of the mikveh. So the water is still flowing back and forth through the holes, but that's not good enough.
40
saw, we learned earlier in the Masechta that we learn it from a pasuk. Mayim shekol gufoy oyel b'hem.
The determination is in Rabbanan.
So the Torah left it up to the Rabbanan to determine, basically, but it's considered Midaraisa, so yeah.
Then why if those holes are there, why wouldn't we consider middle mikveh and the lower mikveh four?
Because there at least you have one of them as 40 saw. If you have one of them as 40 saw, that's what I'm saying, not according to the Chacham Tzvi, but according to other Mepharshim, yes, even a bunch of small holes are good enough to count towards Shefaros HaNoda. But here, where neither one itself is 40 saw, then no good. Continues the Gemara. V'hani mili b'kli tahor. All of this that we're talking about, that you can't tovel one keli inside another one when it comes to Kodesh, this is all talking about when the outer keli is tahor. But if the outer keli itself is tamei, then it is allowed. Niger de sauka tvila lekule gufa demana. Since we say that tvila works for the whole keli itself, sauka lehunami lekelim de isbe, then it also works for the kelim that are inside it. In other words, obviously the keli itself is becoming tahor when you're toggling a bottle. Even though the opening of it is narrower than Shefaros HaNoda, no problem, it becomes tahor, the water goes in, it is able to go in through the hole. So Rashi says, effectively, what it is the same way as the Truma comes in, the same way the Tara comes in with the water. So once it's coming in and making the bottle itself Tahar, then fine, whatever's inside it can also become the Kalim that are inside
even if
it.
They're
can
not
to right, that's what I'm saying, even if they're not to its wives.
So that has to be a minimum.
No. Even if there aren't two etzvahs, even if you don't have shvifet as hanoi, that's what we're saying. According to Rava, that's what we're saying. The Tanan, and we know this because we learn in a Mishnah like this: kalim shemilam kalim vihitbilon. If you fill up kalim with other kalim and then you tovel them, harei l'taharin, then we're saying they become tahar. As far as Truma, which again, we're not, if it was a matter of if you need Shefer HaTanoi, no, then the Mishnah would have had to mention that there's a difference, whether you have that or not. But then the Mishnah continues, V'im lo tovel, but if you didn't tovel, mayim ha-mu'ravim, then the water is mixed, ad shiyu mu'ravim k'Shefer HaTanoi, then it has to be mixed to the extent of Shefer HaTanoi, you need the two etzvos. Which is my comma, what does the Mishnah mean? What does that word mean, v'im lo tovel, if you didn't tovel? We're talking about, you're toveling, kalim inside kalim. Hachakama, what it means is like this, v'im enet tzorech v'atkilo, if the outer kalim does not need to be toveled, because it's already tahor, then, umayim hamurabim, then you have to have that, then you're only using the outer kalim as a container in order to mix the water together, because the outer kalim itself doesn't need tefillah, then you need adshi murabim to shofar sanoi, then you need them mixed to the extent of shofar sanoi, then the outer kalim, the larger kalim, has to have an opening larger than, has to have an opening the size of shofar sanoi or bigger. If you want to tovel kalim inside a kalim which itself is tahor. That's the difference. That's what we're saying. If the outer keli is tamei, it doesn't matter how narrow the opening of it is. As long as the water is able to reach the inner kalim, and you don't have the issue of kvedish or keli that Rabbi Ila mentioned, where the inner keli is going to weigh down, then it's fine. Both of them become tar. But if the outer one is tamei, is already tar. You're not toveling it for the sake of tahara. You're just toveling it because you need it as a container. Then you need shofar sanoi.
Why?
No, because that's the difference. Rava is saying is if the outer keli is tamei, put it this way, Rava is saying, if there were no kalim inside it, would if you tovelled this without any kalim inside it, would it become tahor, even though it doesn't have shofar sanoi? Of course, the water gets fully inside it. Even for Rav Ila. Everybody agrees with that. I mean, otherwise, how are you going to tovel anything that has a narrow neck?
As soon as it has something inside.
But when it has something inside, that was the machlokas. But what we're saying is, given that this is able to become tahor all by itself, then the fact that you have other kalim inside it doesn't change anything. They can also become tahor along with it. That's what I'm saying. The way Rashi puts it is the same way as Tumah came in through the opening, the same way the tahara, the water which makes the tahara, comes in through the opening, and then already it has an effect on the kalim inside it as well.
But if it's opening, you tighten something as a basket, and it's open on top, but that opens.
No, well, we said before, according to Rava, a basket's not an issue anyway. A basket is wide enough, there's no shofar sanoi issue.
If using it as a kalim, it's not able to tighten the kalim, then it happens anyhow. Why would
that's the thing. If you're using it as a container, then it has to be wide enough. Then it has to be hatched for fair sanoi. Because then you're not saying effectively that Tara is coming into it. Then you're saying you're trying to use it as an extension of the mikveh. Well, if you're trying to use it as an extension of the mikveh, you need shofar sanoi. You need your two etzvos. As opposed to if you're not using it as an extension of the mikveh, if you're actually coming doing the tahar in itself, then fine. Then any opening will be good enough. No, not really. Punishment. It's a question of how you're using it. Are you putting it in the mikveh in order to make it tahor, or are you putting it in the mikveh as a container?
If you have double tummy, if the outside the keli and the kelim, then you would think, oh, then you have to have a rubbing hole, make sure everything gets in. But here now,
no, I'm
sorry. That's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Because it has to be an extent. The fact that it's tahor, for the case of the outside keli is tahor, it's considered an extension.
Actually, it's not really a matter of tamei or tahor. Pharisee Sirel points out, what if you have, for example, the outer keli is tamei, but you're not intending to tovel it right now? For whatever reason, you're not interested in toveling it right now. You're still only using the container. Same rule, you need shofaras hanoi. Because again, you're using it as a container rather than putting it in the mixer to make it tahor. Gemara points out, this that we said, that Rava and Rabbi Ila are arguing whether you're allowed to tovel kalim inside a basket, when it's wider than Shoferet Tanoid, this is actually a machlokas tanoim. The Tanya, salva gagusni shemilam kalim, a basket or a gagusni that you filled up with kalim, vihidbilon, and then you tovel them, bein lakodesh, bein latruma tahodin, and they're tahor whether it comes to kodesh or whether it comes to truma, which would be according to Rava. Abashol, I'm a truma, Abashol, the Kodesh. Whereas Abashol says only for truma, not for Kodesh. That would be like Rabbi Ila's understanding of the Mishnah. Okay, now comes the question. What's the difference between truma and Kodesh? Ihochi truma nami. If so, then the same rule should apply to truma. Either way we look at it, whether it's a matter of Kvedish or Kaili, that the Kaili is going to weigh down, or whether we're looking at it as the Shreferis Noid business, either way, why is there a difference? The answer is Laman Kamrian, Chaverin. Because after all, who are we saying, this that we're saying you're not allowed to tovel one Kaili inside another one, who are we addressing this to? We're talking to Chaverin. People who are careful in Dinei Tumah V'Tahara. We're not talking to Amei Aretz. Why? Because Rashi says, Amei Aretz don't know about Dinei Tumah V'Tahara, they're b'chlal not going to come and ask about the dinim of Tovel and Kalim. Chaverim, Meida Yadi. Now Chaverim, no, they know these things. They know the rule about the Truex voice, and they know the rule that if the Kalim is heavy, that you have to make sure that it doesn't weigh down. So therefore, there's no reason to be goes on Chaverim.
They will know that if the weight is too much,
that they should lift it up. Yeah, they have to be careful. They should lift it up a little. Yeah. Now then, the question is, Ihochi Kodesh Nami. So then, the same thing. You say the same thing as talking about Kodesh. Say the same thing about Kodesh. If we're talking to Chaverim, if the Mishnah is talking to Chaverim, then the same. They know it as just as much by Truma as they do by Kodesh. Why are we making the Gzeder by one and not the other? The difference is, Chazilei Ama Oretz VeOzel Matpil. Because what's going to happen if you allow the Chaver to do this for Kodesh? And Ama Oretz is going to see the Chavar doing this, toveling one Kaili inside another, and he's going to go do the same thing, not realizing that there's this issue of Shoferes Anoid, or that there's this issue of heavy versus light or whatever. He won't be careful about those details, and therefore it'll come out that the Tevila wasn't done properly. Well, we're back to the question. Truma Nami Chazilei Ama Oretz V'Azomakil. So what's the difference? The same thing would apply to Truma. The answer is, because when it comes to truma, we do not normally accept truma from an ama oretz. Now, what we mean by that, we don't mean truma of. No, when you say it's true, what do you mean?
No, they
guess we don't accept truma from an ama oretz.
You know this as a fact. How?
I mean, we said yesterday or the day before that ama oretz we consider them money or the hands are coming.
We may, but for example, when we say we don't accept truma from them, what do we mean? I mean, for example, if an Ama Oretz grows apples, for example, or wheat, you know, wheat, which is chayiv and truma midaraita l'choladeh, you're going to tell me you're not going to accept
the...
No. So that's the thing. If it never became wet, then it's not an issue.
Right.
Because then we said with truma, you can even eat dry truma with tumidika hands, and it's not an issue. No, that's not going to be the issue. When we say that we're not allowed to accept truma from Amei Aretz, we're talking about liquids. We're talking about wine and oil, which are the only liquids that you can give as truma. Except for later on in the perek, in a couple of days, we're going to learn that there is a certain time of year when the Amei Aretz go to the trouble of becoming tahor, not necessarily the Yom Tov time, that's a different matter, the time when the normal time of wine pressing or of olive pressing, that then they make sure to be tahor,
right.
But so then we can accept wine and oil of truma from them, but the rest of the year, no.
So even Amei Aretz, we consider their fruits, when they come dry, they were always dry.
We'll get to that soon. We'll get to that probably actually tomorrow, that we do believe the Amei Aretz when he says that it never became wet. We won't believe him if he says it became wet, but it didn't become tamei. But yeah,
if it never became wet,
they're not going to lie to that extent. Yeah. Anyway.
So you need das in order for it to.
So an amar says das.
So in other words, he's saying it came wet, but I didn't have intention.
Yeah, but an amar is not going to be off on those kinds of details.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really laugh at them. No, we're going to actually see as we go through this Gemara a little bit today and more tomorrow that actually the Amorites are not laughing at these things. They're actually in certain areas of these things. They're very careful to listen to what the Chachamim tell them. There's other areas, the fine details of Tumah V'Tahara that they're careless about. because they didn't lose properly.
Yeah, we're going to make a living the whole year. We would something to
do. Also true. Anyway, so the point is, therefore, that when so with Truma, we don't have an issue because if an Amma Aretz tovels a keli and then brings us wine or oil in it for Truma, we're anyway not going to accept it from him. So therefore, there's no issue of the Amma Aretz is going to see what the Chavar is doing and go and do the same thing by Truma, whereas there is that concern by Kodesh. The question is, Kodesh Namila Nekalaminai? Well, then in that case, we should say the same thing. Kodesh, we shouldn't accept from them either, because maybe it became Tomei without them realizing it. The answer is Havila Eva. The problem is, if you don't accept Kodesh from them, if you don't accept things of Kodesh from them, then they're going to hate us. There's going to be ill will between the Amma Aretz and the Chachamim. You were asking the other day, how do we make all these Zeros? We don't touch them, etc. Apparently, the Amma Aretz were fine with that. Okay, we understand the Chachamim have higher standards of Tumah V'Tahara. But okay, to say to the extent that we're not even going to accept your stuff for Kodesh, that would be going too far.
But it's difficult to consider that we're going to accept the stuff in Kodesh from them.
Wait. One second. We're coming to that, yeah.
Truma
Nami Havila Eva. You're back to the question, so why is it different? With Truma also, if a Kohen who's a Chavar doesn't want to accept Truma from an Amma Aretz, won't there also be Eva? The answer is, lo yechbaslei, the Amma Aretz not going to mind. Dalzo yechbaslei, the Kohen Amma Aretz Chavrei. He'll just go and give his Truma. He knows he has to give Truma. Even all the Amma Aretz in those days were careful about Truma. They weren't always careful about Maisa. That's why he had a little problem, the whole issue with Mai. But they were always careful about Truma. Fine, he'll know I can't give my Truma to a Kohen Chavar. Fine, I'll give it to a Kohen Amma Aretz. He won't worry any more than I do about the fine details of Truma.
One second.
Uman Tana Dechayesh Leiva. So now we have to ask, which Tana is it that is concerned about this issue of Eva? The answer is Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yosi, Mipnei Ma Hakol Ne'emon and Altaris Yain V'Shem and Koyim Etzashana. Why do we say that everybody is believed, even Amei Aret, about the Tara of wine and oil for Kodshim throughout the year, even though not for Truma? The reason is, you don't want, if we're going to tell the Amei Aretz that you're off limits, even as far as Kodshim, all of the Kohenim who served in the Bet Mikdash were all Chaverim. They wouldn't just let anybody serve in the Bet Mikdash. If you weren't up on the details of Tumah V'Tahara, you couldn't be serving there. So therefore, what's going to happen if you tell an Amma Aretz that he's off limits as far as Kodshim, he'll go build his own bama, he'll go build his own private Beis HaMikdash in his backyard, and then make his own Parah Adruma so that he doesn't have to worry about our Chumras of it. In order to avoid that issue, therefore they were makel on Kodesh when it comes to an Amma Aretz. But by Truma, you have a choice. The Amma Aretz has a choice. He can go to a Kohen Chavar, or he can go to a Kohen Amma Aretz to give his Truma. So therefore, we're more willing. So in many senses, we're saying we're being makel. But for this purpose, therefore, we're saying that we're more concerned when it comes to Truma that the Amma Aretz might copy what we're saying with Kodesh, we're concerned that Amma Aretz might copy what Chavar is doing. With Truma, even if he copies it, fine, he can always give his Truma to an Amma Aretz, so we don't have to worry about it as much.
But nowadays, we have the hundreds of ex-sherim, and they don't accept the other people.
It's sometimes a problem. This expression that the Gemara uses over here, Shalaya Kalach Vechad Ha'ilach Bonne Bom Al Atmai, is a common expression used in Sifrei Halacha. Like, you want to avoid this proliferation of mutually unacceptable hashgachas and then whatnot. Yeah.
The Norma Rashi in the country has
a Yeah. Amr Papa, incidentally, Rav Papa says, "Keman mekablinin ha'idna sa'adus im Amma Aretz." Who do we follow nowadays that we accept edus from Amma Aretz? In principle, you shouldn't be allowed to, because an Amma Aretz may not be up on the maybe he's not trustworthy. But who do we go according to? That would be Keman Rabbi Yosi. That would be according to Rabbi Yosi. Indeed, according to the Rabbanon, who disagree with Rabbi Yosi, you would not be allowed to accept edus from Amma Aretz. Now, there is actually a machlokas rishonim on this subject. What kind of Amma Aretz are we talking about? La halacha is paskin and shulchan aruch like this. An Amma Aretz over here does mean somebody who hasn't necessarily learned Torah and mitzvahs, but at least acts with derech eretz, at least acts in a derech eretz stick away. If he doesn't even do that, for example, one of the famous thing that everybody says, ha'oichel b'shuk ha'rez adom l'kel of apostle la'edu, somebody who eats walking in the street is possible edus, that kind of thing. That tacka we still hold by. People like that who are so debased that they don't even act with proper derech eretz, we don't accept edus from them. But what we're saying over here, we do follow what we're saying over here, the halacha, that an Am Haaretz, even though he hasn't learned, we'll still accept it as long as he has good middos and derech eretz, we'll accept him for Eva.
That's because of Eva.
Basically, because of Eva, yeah.
Because of Eva,
yeah. That's what we're saying. Because Rabbi Yossi is concerned about Eva. As opposed to, there are Rishonim who understand that the difference is the Am Haaretz over here has learned a little bit of Torah and mitzvahs. Has learned a little bit of Torah. He just doesn't know the fine details of Tumah V'Tahara. As opposed to when the Gemara in Pesachim talks about that an Am Haaretz apostle la'edus means where he hasn't learned Torah at all. So the halacha is not really like that. The halacha is more like the more lenient one that even if he hasn't learned Torah, it's a matter of derech eretz or not. The one in Pesachim doesn't even have derech eretz. He b'chal acts like a behemoth. That's the kind of Am Haaretz we said there who hates Tamar Chachamim and their wives hate Tamar Chachamim even more than them, etc. Whereas the one we're talking about over here is a derech eretz type of person. I did, but yeah, we'll stop now. And
what about the person who's talking to Kubi? Kubi
is another matter. That's not a matter of.
No, but do we understand that he had Derek Harris and everything until that point?
No, it doesn't matter. The fact that he's Masach and Kubi apostles him. One more thing to point out, though, incidentally, is that Tosfos points it out. By the same token, technically, you shouldn't be allowed to have an Am Haaretz join in a Mezuman. But nowadays, we allow that. Same idea, Mishum Eva. And that's Takada Halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So that's the same idea. In other words, that technically it should be that an Am Haaretz who hasn't learned should be excluded from.
Because of Derech Eretz? No,
not because of Derech Eretz, because he hasn't learned. Because Tamid Chacham, shouldn't be joining in with Am Haaretz. However, Tosfos said, nowadays we don't consider ourselves this caliber of Tamid Chacham, and therefore we accept Am Haaretz. For Muslim. And it does say in Shulchan Aruch, though, that if you have a person who doesn't even say Shema in the morning and evening, he's not even careful about that, then you can't count him towards the Muslim. Then you can't say it's a matter of Eva, because then he's clearly not keeping up where he should be. Yeah.
Who was
going down
the bench of the coast, and they didn't know
the Shem Meshatach, yeah. Where they... That's the way the Gemara says it over there. Yeah, they didn't have anybody to bench for them until Shlemtian called in Shem Meshatach. Yeah. Yeah.